Welcome back to the Bob Davis Podcasts. This is podcast 551. We're going to talk about escapism in this podcast, podcast 551. Well, if you've listened to me for any length of time, you know that I do yoga. I love to do yoga, and it doesn't matter what you do for exercise. I practice yoga. I practice yoga in crowded rooms of over 100 degrees. There's high humidity. I sweat a lot. And before Hydrus, the reality is and was that a person who does this can easily get dehydrated even if they drink a lot of water. Now, I used to be sore the next day after I did yoga, and after Hydrus, I don't have that problem anymore. I used to struggle in my yoga class where I was just too hot until I found Hydrus, because Hydrus transformed my yoga practice. It doesn't matter whether you do cycling or something like SoulCycle or CrossFit or Orange Theory, or you do lifting or competitive sports, Hydrus makes a huge difference because it uses exclusive nanosome technology to deliver critical electrolytes with unrivaled speed and effectiveness into your muscles without the sugar in traditional sports drinks. Now, they've done studies and they have found out that Hydrus hydrates you way faster than water. A lot of people think if they take a gallon of water into their yoga class, and I've seen it, and they drink a lot of it, they'll get hydrated and they end up on the floor because it takes that long for water to actually get into your muscles and hydrate you. And Hydrus is great for weight cuts and wrestling and stuff like that, but really it's great because it gets you hydrated really fast and it makes your muscles work better, it makes your body work better, and it's amazing. The result, I am now practicing yoga. Like, I'm really fully into it. I've gotten stronger, my practice has gotten better, and it's all because of Hydrus, because Hydrus helps me take it to the edge. I've said it a lot, you've heard me say it a lot, and I can't say enough about how great Hydrus is. Join the performance hydration revolution. Visit HydrusPerformance.com. That's H-Y-D-R-U-S, HydrusPerformance.com, or click on the banner at the top of the Bob Davis Podcasts. It'll take you to their page. Tons of information about Hydrus, who uses it, how they use it, what it does for them. Whether you're playing tennis or doing CrossFit or strongman competitions, or you have a kid in wrestling or hockey, I think Hydrus is great. Click on that banner for more info about Hydrus, and thanks, Hydrus, for sponsoring the Bob Davis Podcasts. Well, if you've been listening to me for any length of time, you know that sometimes I find some a topic or something that eats away at me, and then I struggle to actually do the podcast. And, you know, I have a lot of different tools and ways that I do podcasts, and sometimes that's a good thing and sometimes it's not a good thing. I tried to do this podcast where I do the whole walk and talk thing, except I didn't do the walk and talk. I actually came down here and sat in the studio and just talked, and I hate that. And I hate it. There's a lot of reasons I hate it, because I hate the way I sound when I'm just wandering unless I'm really on something that I feel passionate about. So I started and stopped the podcast, and I'm going to do this podcast where I was just sitting here talking twice, and then I deleted everything and I decided, okay, well, I'm going to have to organize my thoughts. Escape is one of those topics which came from my subconscious. So I have this little ritual every day when I get up. I get up and I have this routine. I make coffee, and then if it's sunny, you know, and fairly warm, and it has been all summer, whatever, I take the coffee, and in my bare feet in the summer and fall, obviously not in the winter, but in the summer and fall, I walk out to this part in a park by my house, and I sit on the hill, and I have the first few sips of my coffee, and I sit and I drink coffee, and I don't speak, because I talk to myself a lot, and I don't take the phone with me. I don't want any calls. I don't want to deal with anything going on in the world until I'm awake and until I have practiced what is becoming, as I said, a kind of ritual. And that is, I don't do anything per se out there. I just sit there and I watch the dragonflies or the kids playing soccer, or I watch the clouds or the planes coming in, or, you know, if there's a summer storm approaching, or the hint of, you know, early fall snow or anything like that. And then I just sort of let thoughts surface, and I let them pass through. And sometimes I'll find something to hold on to from that experience. So I kind of got this from something I did about 2 years ago, which I introduced in the podcast. So I call it the news cleanse. This is the complete cutoff of all news, television, radio, internet, YouTube, And for some, the complete cutoff of all social media, virtually all media for a prescribed period of time. Now, some people have different ways of doing this. I've actually read other people have been doing it since. Some continue their work email and their work social media accounts, but they take a break from everything else. And then others have a complete break. I had a complete break. This is very difficult if you work in media. It's almost impossible if you do talk radio or by extension, news, talk, current events, podcasts like mine. If I was still doing talk radio, it probably would have been impossible for me. The first time I did it, the plan was to do basically two classes of yoga every day and then no news, no prep, and then just do a podcast and see what pops up. I don't know how long I did that or even honestly if I did that, but that was the idea. That experience resulted in that little vacation from any input while I'm waking up, and that's what this daily ritual is, even though there's really not a ritual associated. It's become a ritual because I'm obsessive, so I basically do the same thing every day because I've started doing that. What happens is your thoughts emerge from your subconscious as you wake up, and if you can hold on to them a little bit and figure out what you want to use from those thoughts, it's, to me, kind of a gold mine. And for me, I went out there this morning, beautiful fall, late summer, early fall morning on the heels of a full moon, clear and bright and blue, and just fantastic. And so this morning, the thought that kind of emerged was this question of escapism. And the reason is I've been watching a lot of... I've been binge watching a lot of TV shows, which I'll talk about in a second, but escapism is the tendency to seek distraction and relief from unpleasant realities, especially by seeking entertainment or engaging in fantasy. Well, I'm doing that. This weekend, I watched two seasons of Shameless and a whole season of a new series called Stranger Things, which is phenomenal. People have been telling me to watch it. And usually when people say, oh, you should watch a show, I don't even think twice about it because I don't care, but I'll talk more about Stranger Things in a few. Last week, I did something I roughly do every couple of years, and that is I watched the movie Into the Wild. This is the John Krakauer book, which has been made into a movie by Sean Penn a few years ago. It's about this kid, Chris McCandless, who broke from his middle-class upbringing after he graduated from Emory to essentially have a great adventure in the wild by himself. McCandless's idea was that our possessions, our jobs, our supposed purposes in life hold us down and prevent us from having an authentic experience, or at least that's the direction of the movie. McCandless obviously borrowed a lot from Thoreau and others in his quest to disconnect himself from his possessions, money, and his personal vision quest and all that. It's a young man's story, and all would have been fine, I'm sure, but McCandless made a mistake and ate a poisonous berry that caused him to starve to death. Now, the first time I saw the movie, I got very angry at the main character, the kid, and I was like, well, what did you expect would happen? How could you have been so stupid as to go out into the wild in Alaska with no real preparations, which he did? And I think that was stupid. But with successive viewings, I also understand the want to escape, and I also identify with and I understand the greater purpose in letting go of the things that hold us down so we can wander and be free. And I was thinking about that this morning. The movie kind of came up for me, not because I'm going to be some hippie and run off without anything, although I really do feel that, because I was thinking, well, what holds me here? What holds me in Minnesota? And I thought, well, my business holds me here, and my stuff holds me here, and my rent holds me here, but really, I don't need to be here, and I don't need to be doing this. It's not necessary for me to do this. Obviously, it would be hard, because I'd have to get a job slinging hash or something. But I don't know if that even bothers me so much anymore based on the things that are happening in the world these days that really leave me with a sour expression that I don't really want to express because, I mean, for myself, I don't really want to share it in podcasts because it's such a downer, this sourness about what is going on in the world and in our country and how people feel about things and so forth. And the reason I can't get to this stuff off the top of my head spontaneously these days is, I think it goes deeper than talking about who's ahead in Ohio or what we should do about Somalis who have become naturalized U.S. citizens who stab people in the mall or put bombs in garbage cans in New York City. And I could talk about these things, and I think I would probably have a lot more clicks and views if I did. I could offer opinions, which would be nothing more than my opinions, if that, and completely disposable. I could tout theories about what the enemy, quote-unquote, intends, or what this candidate or that candidate will do about it. I could have people on a round table all to express their thoughts the way they do on national television, and we might get pretty close to the truth, and we might hit it head-on, or we might be flat-out wrong about it, but I am grateful that I don't have to do this. I'm grateful I don't have to be on the radio to continue what I consider to be a gross disservice to people. And if you listen to it every day, I feel sorry for you, because the bottom line is, what are you going to do about it other than simply to go get a carry permit and be armed and be ready in case someone attacks you? What are you going to do if Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump is ahead in New York? And it isn't meant as a message of cynicism. It's meant as a criticism of what we deal with on a day-to-day basis that pours into our heads, because that's all people want to talk about after something. It's a weird, almost codependent experience where you keep talking about this thing. An event occurs and you talk about the event ad infinitum until the next event occurs, and then you talk about that ad infinitum. I'm certainly guilty of it. You know, I talked about the Hillary Clinton collapse because I felt it was a big enough story, because it may end up being the reason she loses the election or not. But if it is, it's worth talking about. It was big enough when one of the two mainline political candidates collapses. I think that's a big enough story. I do not conversely feel that another attack in Minnesota or another attack in New York City with bombs going off in garbage cans is a big enough story for me to waste 30 minutes of a podcast on it, in which you will receive no further information or insight about what is being said or what's being done about it, and you know, a story after which nothing is going to change significantly in the rest of the country. So it isn't a message of cynicism. If you're working on a campaign for a political candidate because you think he or she is the best thing for the country, good for you. If you're working on a political campaign for local office, you know, or Congress or whatever, good for you. If you've made up your mind about your vote in November, good for you. It's simply that partitioning myself from that constant flow of misinformation, and that's what it is, produces what I consider to be far more profound ideas for content. And escapism is really something to consider. And I would love to hear how you escape, how what you think and when you think escape becomes unhealthy. What kind of escape you think is unhealthy? How much escape is too much escape? Why do you escape? Is conspiracy theory stuff escape? Yes. Things like the hollow earth and simple fantasy explanations for why things are happening that pull it all together and tie it all together with either false information, made up information, or information that seems like it hooks together. Those are examples of fantasy. And then you say, well, what is a healthy example of escape? And I would say exercise. I would say, you know, taking walks, getting out into nature, sitting quietly by yourself, those kinds of things. You know, obviously alcohol and drugs are not healthy methods of escape, or are they? I don't know. Do you take a moment here and there to listen to your thoughts and let them pass through long enough to hear something new inside your own head that has not been broadcast from, you know, on television, something that is not from constant exposure to news or social media? And what do you come up with when that happens? What kinds of things occur to you? In your mind, sometimes things that are escape things actually turn out to be really great informative things. And one of the things that brought up escapism for me is this show, Stranger Things. It's a great show, especially for the under 40 crowd. A lot of younger people are watching this and talking about it. They do an amazing job creating a separate reality, like the movie Stand By Me, or like you know, Battlestar Galactica when you were a kid watching that on TV, or Star Trek, or The Twilight Zone, or most recently probably Mad Men, or even House of Cards. The thing I think is really interesting about the House of Cards versus Stranger Things is obviously both are Netflix shows. House of Cards is kind of a fantasy, alternate reality, White House, Washington political thing. But Stranger Things goes completely away from all of that and literally creates a separate world, almost like the movie Halloween rolled into X-Files, rolled into Stand By Me, rolled into, you know, the whole, it's just a fantastic show. And it's what's cool, a lot of things are cool about, one of the things that's cool about it is that it's the 80s, but you're not immersed in 80s nostalgia like you were immersed in 60s nostalgia like with Mad Men. So much of Mad Men is like, here's a guy drinking a cup of coffee in 1959, or here's a guy shaving in 1959, or here's a guy driving a 1967 Cadillac or whatever. You know, that's not the way this show works. It just happens to be set in the 80s, and they do such a really good job of letting you experience it without shoving it in your face. And I love this show because I watched all of them. I spent the entire weekend watching all of these shows. And so we can escape into a show like this like never before, and you don't have to wait for a full week of successive episodes, so you can binge view. And I think there's a lot of people doing it. It's funny because, I go to yoga, and we have conversations at yoga about stuff, and Stranger Things has been coming up all over the place. What did you do last weekend? Well, I just watched Stranger Things all weekend. Or I watched six of them last night, and we finally had to go to bed because I had to get up and do this thing this morning. I escape because I find so little to engage me in a positive way, in a positive intellectual way, about the news and politics and current events genre of these days. Just before I did this podcast, I thought, well, I'm going to make one last attempt. I'm going to go online and just see if there's anything I'm missing that I should talk about, that I should research or think about or do a podcast about it. You know, it's just all this back and forth between Clinton and Trump and their various camps. And you open up your email and it's 14 emails from the Trump campaign or the Clinton campaign or Bernie Sanders. And it's articles about what this guy said about that. And then you go on social media and it's memes and videos of the same crap. And I just, I was just like, okay, you know, I feel confident that doing a podcast about escapism isn't in itself escapism. It's actually something that people might want to think about. And the way I feel about things not being intellectually engaging for me, and I think that's really the big piece, is that politics these days is not intellectually engaging. What ends up happening is I just find that I don't have any interest in it at all. And I've talked about it in podcasts, and I'm sure I will again. I'm not going to stop doing political podcasts. But whenever I can, I try to do a podcast about a thought that I had that emerged from my subconscious, because I think it does that service. And I want to do that service because I think that this is when you really get to good stuff, even if it's a crappy podcast. This whole thing that's going on politically in this country, which I've talked about a lot. I mean, we're on the cusp of change. We're in a cusp of change, a period between one thing and between another. And it's very difficult. The two-party system has lost track of the people. We've gotten ahead, I think, out ahead of the politics, and the politics hasn't caught up. And no, we're not going to end up with some, you know, incredible multi-party system that represents all views or something like that. We're just going to end up with another two-party system, but the process means that both political parties are going to have to change or become something else. And I've talked about that, and I've talked about why that's necessary. But one of the reasons I love to travel and go places and do travel podcasts and really spend money I don't have to do it is because I just find that I feel better when I'm traveling and seeing new things and on the road. And I don't know whether it's because I'm escaping and the television becomes the windshield, you know, or whether I am actually feeding my soul by traveling and seeing new things and thinking about things in a different way. You know, when I'm traveling, I not only feel more engaged, I feel that the audience is more engaged with me as a human being. And when I talk about things that are coming up in my mind, I feel like you can be more engaged in what's going on in my life, because I think there's a lot of people that are also experiencing this this feeling today that this election is a bust. People that I would never think would say this are saying, I don't think I can vote. That's a direct quote. And as I've said, I feel that the people have gotten out ahead of the two-party system currently in play, and we will cover that in the future. But I think I don't want to cover the future as though I'm predicting it. I just think that that breakdown is coming. I don't know what's going to predicate it. I think it will be an event of some kind. It could be a small event. It could be a big event. It could be the election of Donald Trump. It could be the election of Hillary Clinton. And that will be something to cover when things start to change after January. But I don't think there's worth anything worth talking about, because I think most people have made their minds up about this particular election. And I think as the result, lots of people are just looking to escape in any way they can, whether it's nostalgia, whether it is engaging in fantasy like conspiracy theory, sports, astrology, binge viewing shows, sleeping, religion. There's healthy, escape in religion, and there's unhealthy escape in religion and spirituality. So it can go either way. Most of these things can go either way. And I don't know what the rule is. If you watch two shows, are you having an unhealthy escape? If you watch an entire season, you know, is it an unhealthy escape? I don't know. Here's a question. Have you made up your mind about who you're going to vote for, or if you're going to vote in November? Are you actually still interested in talking about it, or are you caught up in each day's discussion about the neck-and-neck race in Colorado or Ohio or Nevada, which I will update at the end of the month, but I'm not going to talk about that every day? Are you still hanging on every rhetorical flourish, press conference, or campaign speech? And so then, can politics, that is, watching it day in and day out on Fox and CNN or whatever, can politics, as a viewer, not necessarily running a campaign, but can politics as a viewer be a form of escape into a strange kind of fantasy? I think it can, because I think the truth is not much is going to happen between now and January, save for some kind of national emergency, which could happen. And of course, we would be talking about it if there's a national emergency. But I don't think we're going to have a national emergency. I know the conspiracy theorists and other people don't think that there will be another election, but they've been saying that for they've been saying that for as many cycles as I can remember, that there won't be another election. So I don't think a national emergency will prevent the election when we were able to have elections during the Civil War and we were able to have elections during World War II in this country. I don't think that it's going to prevent any elections. And save for the immediate actions of the Federal Reserve, let's say, in terms of how they handle the money or the interest rates or the markets, you know, that could definitely produce a crisis of some kind, and or something the current administration does could produce a crisis. And again, those are things that I would think would be worthy of discussing. But no major policy changes are going to take place between now and mid-January, because a new president is going to be inaugurated, and it doesn't matter which guy it is, the current president is going to just tamp things down, because he doesn't want whatever legacy he has to be negatively affected by doing something stupid at the end of his election. And a good example of this was when we had the anarchy in Somalia, George H.W. Bush decided to commit troops to Somalia, because that was back on the heels of the first Iraq War victory, and we could do anything, and we were this great country, and we got involved in Somalia, which of course ended in the Black Hawk Down scenario once Clinton became president. You pass on problems to the next administration. So the tendency for the sitting president, who is going to be out of office soon, is not only to be lame duck, but to act lame duck in the sense that it's basically you're now just a steward of the country as you just sort of point it to January 15th, 16th, 17th, whatever the day that the new president is going to be inaugurated is. Now, I'm frustrated with the same old story. I don't want to be the guy who talks about what Trump said today. I don't want to be the guy that talks about Hillary Clinton being, a reptilian alien. I don't want to be the guy that tells you that there's a moon base on the dark side of the moon and that we've been duped for, 100 years or, you fill in the blank. And I don't want to be the guy that takes whatever's happened today and tells you that I'm telling you the truth about what's happened, and it's this, and this is what's going to happen, and here's what it's going to lead to, and this is what you need to do. You know, when it comes to politics, the one thing I've learned is advocating for somebody, advocating for a position is fine, but then when the government gets a hold of it and they start doing things, things that you thought would be done a certain way don't get done that way, and bad things happen, and then you have advocated for those bad things too. So from my perspective, you get to vote however way you want to vote. You get to decide how you want to choose your votes to go down on election day. You get to decide how you feel about what these elected officials are doing and what you feel about politics. And just because I feel a certain way about it doesn't mean that I'm telling you, quote unquote, the truth. I basically feel these days that even telling you what I feel about it, beyond saying, here's who's ahead in this state or that state, or this is what this means to me, or this is what this might mean in terms of politics, is just a complete waste of time on my part. In other words, I'm wasting your time doing that. So beyond waypoints, like the monthly state-by-state poll analysis right up until just before the election, I don't want to be the guy that tells you what to think of what Hillary Clinton said. You can hear her speak, and you can come up with your own conclusions. And as I said earlier, the healthcare scare is an exception because that's news. And that when something happens that is worthy of a couple of podcasts, I'll do those. But this weekend, what happened with attacks in New York and St. Cloud, Minnesota, which, by the way, to my knowledge, was misreported as the Mall of America by at least one network. What happened this weekend in St. Cloud, Minnesota, which is not the Mall of America, isn't one of those things that I would do a podcast about, because there's little I can add about it. It's what's done is done, and there's nothing to add, and you're going to draw your own conclusions about what you know, and good luck to you. I don't want to delve into these issues where people are just going to disagree, really to disagree. In other words, just to fight because they want to have a fight. I do not want to be an audio version of Facebook, which is awful, or worse, a reflection of what someone read on Facebook or Twitter, or a rehash of today's news from the internet. And just very quickly along that subject, you know, it used to be that you could buy 8 newspapers, you could literally disassemble them and reassemble them and get a picture, because you were working with lots of different news sources and news organizations that might lead you on a path through a particular issue. Those days are gone, because almost all of these news services are borrowing from each other. And that is to say, they are taking a story from this group and they're rewriting it without very much additional new factual information and reposting it. So Yahoo takes stuff and rewrites it and posts it on Yahoo. And Mike takes stuff and posts it from some other source. So they have people that rewrite stuff and post it. They don't have news organizations with people and resources on the ground in Addis Ababa or in Czechoslovakia or in Minnesota to be able to say this is what's going on. So they will pull information from the Star Tribune, let's say, in this case, or the St. Cloud newspaper in this case, and say, this is what we know to this point. And then they'll say the St. Cloud State, blah, 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 is reporting. But that's not new information. It's just a rehash. There's an awful lot of that. In fact, most of the information is that it's just written from a different point of view. So what you're getting is slants on existing information. You're not getting new information to report. So the idea of taking apart a newspaper and reassembling a newspaper, which is what I used to do 10 years ago, 20 years ago, you can't do anymore, because those news organizations have been collapsed and they're not as robust as they used to. And almost all newspapering these days is, in fact, some extreme form of bias, whether it is Breitbart or Huffington or the New York Times or the Chicago Tribune or whatever paper you want to say. These papers, these publishers tend to be very opinionated about a particular direction, or they have a pet issue. And if you don't know those biases, then it's almost impossible. One of my favorites was, I used to read Investor's Business Daily all the time until they just got to the point where they wrote so many biased articles about the market that I just can't look at it anymore. Same with Bloomberg. You know, it's really hard to find an objective source of information when it comes to financial information. You almost have to have visceral, complete, and deep knowledge of the market as a trader to have an opinion about what is going on with the markets and really understand how all of these elements in the markets work together. Like, how does the Federal Reserve work with the banks? What is, you know, what are the regulations? What is, you know, what's, you have to have so much information, so much detailed information. It's almost almost impossible to really make a determination of what's going on based on an article about the economy or based on an article about finance. So what I do is I just wait until there's a number of things that have sort of built up and it becomes a story. And then I talk about it because I've been collecting information for a long period of time. So this podcast is just something I feel better about, taking a sliver of my own life, my own reaction to these things from this little ritual that I have in the morning where I just listen to myself and then sharing it. Because honestly, I think there's a lot of people experiencing what I'm experiencing these days, which is it's a kind of bitterness. It's a kind of distancing. It's a desire to escape. It's a sadness about politics and about what is going on in the world and about how we are dealing with things. And it isn't limited to one side or the other. It is pronounced. It is significantly different from the feeling that I might have had during the early 2000s or during the time that Bill Clinton was president or even during the time that Reagan was president. I was certainly younger, and I'm experiencing things differently, and I'm reacting to things differently. But I know that these things that are coming up for me and the frustration and the difficulty about talking about these things are also coming up for my listeners. So I decided to share it. Well, there it is. And again, thanks to Hydrus for sponsoring the Bob Davis podcast. Don't forget, this is the new high-performance beverage that uses exclusive nanosome technology to deliver critical electrolytes with unrivaled speed and effectiveness without the sugar in traditional sports drinks. It's amazing what Hydrus does. I would hope that everybody gets Hydrus. Doesn't matter what you do, strongman stuff, CrossFit, powerlifting, even if it's just walking, Hydrus will help you take it to the edge. Visit HydrusPerformance.com. That's H-Y-D-R-U-S, HydrusPerformance.com, HydrusPerformance.com, or click on the banner at the top of the Bob Davis Podcast page. Also, thanks to the digital sponsor of the BobDavisPodcast.com all these months. If you're a pilot and you want to be safe on takeoffs and landings, Alpha Systems makes the revolutionary angle of attack indicator. This is the best visual indicator of the lift underneath your airplane, especially on that final turn to the runway to land that is in the business. The bottom line is Alpha Systems AOA saves lives. Again, biggest problem in general aviation is pilots who do not have this angle of attack indicator turning on base to the final to land, and they lose lift because they think they can feel it and they crash. It happens all the time. And if you start paying attention to the news headlines, you'll see stories again and again and again where you point to it and you go, angle of attack. Click on the Alpha Systems banners for more info about Alpha's revolutionary angle of attack indicator at the Bob Davis Podcasts page. And thanks, you guys, for sponsoring the Bob Davis Podcasts. All right. Thank you for listening on Stitcher.com, iTunes, TuneIn, BlogTalkRadio.com, and the Bob Davis Podcast radio show at the page at thebobdavispodcast.com. Also, I have streaming now on thebobdavispodcast.com. I am still taking email addresses for the newsletter. I have not done a newsletter yet, but I will. And I'm getting ready to do a big trip out west. I'm thinking about going to Seattle, then down to LA, then over to Phoenix, and then back to Minnie. And I'm accepting contributions for the BobDavisPodcast.com mobile podcast command to go. It's just for diesel fuel and beef jerky and coffee on the trip. And if you know me, you know that that is all I eat on the trip. Occasionally, I'll stop at a diner. But for the most part, I just eat the beef jerky and the nuts and drink coffee. And I actually lose weight. I went to go to this thing tonight, and I have three or four suits, and I wanted to wear a dark suit, and I put my darkest suit on, and I buckled the pants, and they fell down to my to my ankles. There was virtually there was nothing left. Like, I tried to get them to buckle, you know, around my waist, and they are, like, massive compared to what they were. So that's how much weight I've lost. And when I come back from one of these trips, I'll often put on my jeans that I'm wearing right now that are a little tight, but I'll put these jeans on, and they'll be, like, I had to go buy a belt to hold these things up at one point because I lost so much weight. So I don't eat that much. It goes into the tank. And so thank you for your donations for Mobile Podcast Command at thebobdavispodcast.com. And I'll let you know when I head out. This weekend, I'm heading out to Agora Fest in Wisconsin, a big confab of market anarchists. I love them. They're like the autistic kids that I grew up with that I felt so at home with. So I'll give you more info about this fantastic gathering over in Wisconsin as soon as I get over there this weekend. Thanks for listening to the Bob Davis Podcast, Podcast 551. I feel a lot better.
One pill makes you larger, and one pill makes you small. And the ones that mother gives you, when she's 10 feet tall. And if you go chasing rabbits and